And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
The living brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is fighting challenges. All three of my guests are showing us how to fight and how to overcome challenges. My first guest taught us how to find a job in a tight labor market, even during the holidays. My second guest was really inspiring. He was a centenarian. He's lived over 100 years old. He fought and he overcame countless challenges during his lifetime. We tapped into his wisdom of over 100 years. My next guest addresses the challenge of diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is a rapidly growing epidemic among people of all ages. She helps diabetics win the fight with foods and gives them alternatives that are both tasty and nutritious to be part of their limited diet. If you have diabetes or if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Barbara Quinn is a full-time clinician dietitian and certified diabetes educator for the community hospital on the Monterey Peninsula in Monterey, California. Now, let me give you some of the facts about diabetes. Diabetes is the fastest growing health concern in the United States. One out of every three Americans will develop diabetes at some time during their life. Diabetes takes an average of 10 to 15 years off of your life. The rate of diabetes has nearly doubled in the United States over the last 10 years, and 24 million people have diabetes. The staggering thing is that 24% of them don't even know that they have it. 57 million have pre-diabetes, and 25% of those people don't even know they have pre-diabetes. Diabetes, as a disease, costs us in the United States $174 billion a year. Now, to put that in perspective, that's more than it costs us to fight the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Barbara, welcome to the show. And boy, you couldn't be more timely. This is an epidemic, and we really don't even know that we're having an epidemic, do we?
Well, all of the health professionals tend to know it, but the public is just now catching on to how devastating this disease is worldwide.
Oh, the statistics that I just read are staggering. But let's go back to the causes of it. How did this diabetes epidemic begin?
Well, you had said it's a growing problem, and literally it truly is, because type 2 diabetes is what, 90% of the people who have diabetes have. The type 2 diabetes is very closely related to the obesity epidemic that we're having in the United States.
Okay, so they're kind of twins, huh? They're two sides of the same coin. Obesity and diabetes go hand in hand?
Right. We used to call it 40 fat and unfit, or were the ways you could describe type 2 diabetes, because it's related to being, as you get older, you're less active, and when you put weight on, your body's insulin just doesn't work as well, and that's when a lot of people do develop diabetes.
Ouch. 40 fat and unfit. Well, you've just pretty much described me. Thank you very much for that. All right. So I'm a candidate, or I'm at risk for diabetes. In fact, one out of every three Americans is at risk for diabetes at some point in their lifetime. So
we are. But
something that came up as I was doing the research for this, Barbara, and looking at your book, which is called, by the way, The Diabetes Detour Diet, there's something called pre-diabetes. Now, this I didn't know about. So break it down for me. What is pre-diabetes, and how does one know that they have pre-diabetes?
Pre-diabetes is what we used to call, I'm borderline, I have just a touch of sugar, and they renamed it to pre-diabetes, which means your blood sugars are higher than normal, but they're not high enough to have the diagnosis of diabetes yet. But if you don't make changes, you will go on to have diabetes. And the detour diet is probably most helpful for those folks, because that's where you can prevent getting diabetes. Once you get the disease, you have it.
Okay, so once you get it, you have it. Mm-hmm. And diabetes, the blood sugar is too high. It's higher than it should be, but it's
right.
Not yet into the diabetes stage. Now, when do you discover that you have high blood sugar? Is that part of your annual physical? They take a blood sample and you get back readings on your blood sugar from that sample?
Yes, it absolutely should be. And any of your listeners who have a family history, or you have any of the risk factors, when you go in for your annual, if your doctor doesn't order a blood glucose test, you should ask him to order that for you. It's very identifiable on a blood test.
All right, a blood glucose test is really what's going to determine that. So
right.
Let's, again, for those who may not know that they even have prediabetes, let's talk about what is diabetes. What raises the blood sugar? What happens if it's too high? And what are some of the health risks that are involved?
Okay. There's certain types of food that will go into your bloodstream very quickly. Those are carbohydrates, sugars, and starches. Those are foods that feed our muscles, but if we eat too many of them, like if you have a big gulp 44-ounce drink, that goes directly into your bloodstream, and then your body has to excrete insulin, and insulin helps that energy from your blood go into your cells. If you have a large body mass or your insulin isn't working well because you're not very physically active, then that sugar stays in your blood, and sugar that stays in your blood is toxic.
Oh, really?
To your blood.
Mm.
So that's when we start getting, again, people with diabetes don't just have high blood sugars. They have heart disease because high blood sugars actually damage the arteries in your body.
Heart disease is one of the complications or one of the challenges that you get with diabetes. What are some of the other risks that you get with diabetes?
Well, people with diabetes also are at a high risk of having problems with their eyes, their kidneys. They have problems with their feet because of their nerve damage. Again, those high blood sugars circulating through your body cause damage to all the nerves and all of the, you know, organs of your body.
Does it create or increase the risk of stroke?
Yeah. One of our cardiologists here, he says, if you have diabetes, you have heart disease. And so, yes, but that's the bad news. The good news is that people that can control their blood sugars and know how to control their diabetes can really lower their risks of all of those complications.
All right. Now, just out of curiosity, so we cover the full spectrum, Barbara, are there risks associated with too low blood sugar?
Well, there are. And again, usually the only risks for that would be people who are taking a medication that lowers blood sugar, such as insulin. There certainly can be risks, but most people can control their diabetes with their what we call lifestyle habits, and that's what the Detour Diet is about.
All right, so if you're 40, fat, and unfit, then you need to be listening to this, and you need to pick up the book, The Diabetes Detour Diet, because we're talking to the author, Barbara Quinn, about this. Now, Barbara, interestingly enough, I've read that there's a causality, a link between stress and increased blood sugar. Is there any scientific proof that shows that that's true?
Oh, there absolutely is. The stress hormones, you know, when we're rushing around, when we're angry, when we're doing road rage or whatever we're doing, our body releases stress hormones. And those stress hormones actually can cause us to, guess what, crave high sugar and high fat foods, for one.
Mm.
And also those stress hormones can actually cause damage because those hormones are supposed to just be there to help us get away from the danger. If we're in a chronic state of stress, those hormones can be very damaging to our bodies.
All right. We're talking to Barbara Quinn, everybody, who's the author of The Diabetes Detour Diet. So, Barbara, I'm going to ask you just point blank, what makes The Diabetes Detour Diet revolutionary?
Well, I believe that it's a lifestyle. It's not really a diet, even though that's on the front. It's a way of living, and we use four key nutrients that I just got back from a nutrition conference in Boston that continues to confirm that calcium, vitamin D, fiber, and omega-3 fats all can be very, very potent allies in the fight against diabetes.
All right, those are the fat-fighting four that you have in your book, calcium, omega-3, fiber, and vitamin D. But, I mean, there's conflicting reports about calcium. Isn't there too much calcium or too much vitamin D in your diet creates other problems? So if I scarf down a bunch of yogurt to get my vitamin D, I'm creating other issues with fat, aren't I?
Well, you can get too much of anything, but again, the vitamin D is kind of the darling nutrient these days. We're expecting the new dietary guidelines to be coming out any day now, and we think that the current recommendations are too low, you can get too much vitamin D if you're taking a super supplement, but we're recommending that people get it in foods And even getting out in the sun a little bit, believe it or not. That's the best way of getting your vitamin D.
Ah, now you're talking. You're up in Northern California. We're down here in Southern California. We're going to have a beautiful weekend this weekend. High is going to be in the 80s. So get out, get your sun, get your vitamin D, because that's part of the fat fighting four. All right. So if I want to do this, Barbara, I want to get the fat fighting four into my life. And I have to do that by using foods. I'm not going to use dietary or supplements, vitamin supplements. What are some of the foods that I can go to that will give me the calcium, the omega-3, the fiber, and the vitamin D that I need?
Okay, well, dairy foods is our major source of calcium and vitamin D in the American diet, but you can also get it in the calcium-enriched and vitamin D-enriched things like soy milk or rice milk if you're not a dairy food person. The omega-3s, the best source, again, is fish, and the fattier fish. And by fattier fish, we don't mean deep fried.
Oh, darn.
We mean the dark-fleshed fish, such as salmon, tuna, trout, sardines, anchovies, those kinds of fish.
Okay, all right.
Also, you can get some omega-3 fats in walnuts and flaxseed and pecans and certain kinds of nuts. Might be a good source as well if somebody is a vegetarian.
All right. Oh, that's good to know. And by the way, we're talking to Barbara Quinn, whose book, The Diabetes Detour Diet. Does your book address vegetarianism in the book?
We don't specifically address it. The meal plans can be adjusted, though, for people who are vegetarian. And we're thinking about possibly doing that in a future book.
Oh, okay, great. Well, there you go. You got the idea here first, so that's good. All right, so we talked about some of the other sources. You mentioned flaxseed, walnuts. Where does one get flaxseed? I mean, you just walk into the grocery store and say, point me to the flaxseed aisle, please?
Yes, you do. Actually, you do.
Okay.
You can get flaxseed in any of your major stores. Sometimes I usually recommend that people get what we call the flaxseed meal, which means it's already ground up. But I use it, like I make some homemade granola, and I put it in there instead of wheat germ or those kinds of things. So you could put it on cereal, you could bake it into muffins, you could eat it with your yogurt. There's lots of ways you can use the flaxseed meal.
All right. Well, now, flaxseed sounds interesting, but not something that's currently part of my diet. But are there things that might be part of my diet? Are there any fruits or vegetables that I should be eating that would help me get more of the fat-fighting four?
Actually, all of your fruits and vegetables have one of the key components of the fat-fighting four, and that's fiber.
Ah.
Whole grains, fruits, vegetables, any of your plant foods, your nuts, your seeds, your legumes, like beans. When you have a bean burrito, you're getting one of the fat-fighting four foods. And what we know about fiber is that it is the appetite-control nutrient. It really helps actually stimulate hormones in your body that actually make you less hungry. And so it really does help people who are trying to lose weight stay on those limited portion sizes.
All right. I love it. We're talking to Barbara Quinn, everybody. Now, Barbara, if I plop down in the morning and have a bowl of Cheerios that's got oats in it, does that qualify as a fiber? Is that close enough to be part of the fat fighting four?
It absolutely does. That's a whole grain oat cereal. Cheerios is a fine cereal to have for breakfast.
Oh, good. I'm on the right track then.
You're on the right track.
I'm glad to hear that. All right. What sorts of meats and what's besides fish, are there any meats that I should be looking at that can increase my calcium, omega-3, fiber, or vitamin D?
Well, your meats, you're talking about
beef, pork, chicken,
those kinds of foods. Those are good protein sources, and those aren't actually, initial parts of the fat-fighting four, but very important part of a weight loss diet is to get adequate protein. And we do include lean meats and lean pork, lean, turkey and poultry, and all of those things are all included in the diet plan.
All right. We're talking to Barbara Quinn, everybody, whose book, The Diabetes Detour Diet, is on shelves now. And she says if you are over 40, fat and unfit, then you are a candidate for prediabetes or diabetes, which brings me to the next point. Obviously, being unfit is part of it. But what role does sleep and exercise play in controlling diabetes?
Well, the sleep association is very interesting. We know that people who don't get at least 7 hours of sleep a night are at a higher risk for having diabetes.
Really?
And being overweight. So we know that, and also people who have sleep apnea, people who snore and wake themselves up at night, those people that are higher risk of having diabetes. We don't know which one causes the other. We just know that they're both related, and if you take care of either one of them, the other one gets better.
All right, so if I treat my diabetes, I'm going to sleep better. If I sleep better, I lower my risk for diabetes. That's an interesting causality.
Yes, yeah. We don't know all the answers yet, but it does say we need to get enough sleep at night.
All right, so 7 hours is minimum that you need to be getting. If you're not getting that, then you're putting yourself at risk. Mm-hmm. All right, if I pick up your book and I start doing the diabetes detour diet, I know you've got a quick start here to get me started, and that's great because when I start a diet, I'm always gung-ho about it. Mm-hmm. But the problem is staying on the diet, maintaining it. Then I lose interest over time. So give me some tips on how I can maintain the diet and what rules should I live by so that I can have a relatively diabetes-free life.
Well, you want to make sure that you're getting enough calories as you're going along. So we have two plans. One is 1,400 calories and one is 1,600 calories. That's a very reasonable way to lose weight. And then after you start losing the weight, then you can adjust the calories if you need to. You also need to make sure you're eating about every 3 to 4 hours. You know, again, this is not just a diet you're going to be on. This is you're starting to learn how to eat.
And it's a lifestyle change, really, isn't
foods,
it?
Exactly. The foods that you're choosing hopefully will be the foods that you'll want to choose because you're going to start feeling so much better when you eat this way.
All right, so it's going to change my life, and hopefully there'll be some positive reinforcement. But, Barbara, I've got to ask you, 1,400 calories? I mean, give me an idea of 3 meals and 2 snacks. What does 1,400 calories really look like?
You might be surprised.
Okay, surprise me.
Okay, well, it's it might be some of the same foods that you're already eating, like your cereal and fruit in the morning, but it's having your burritos or those kinds of things, even a hamburger, in the evening, but it's really watching the size of your portions. You're not eating 4 burritos, you're eating one. And you're not eating the whole cow hanging off the edge of the plate. You're eating a small portion about the size of your palm of your hand.
The palm of my hand. Okay, that's good, and that's encouraging. We're talking to Barbara Quinn, everybody, who is the author of the Diabetes Detour Diet. That's Detour, D-T-O-U-R, diet. Barbara, people are listening. They're interested in what you have to say. Where would you direct them to go on the Internet to learn more about you?
If they want to learn more about the Detour Diet, they can go just to DTOUR.com. They can order the book there. They can also get it in bookstores. I also write a weekly column for the Monterey County Herald, so they can go to MontereyHerald.com if they want to focus in on my weekly column.
Great.
And so those are the main ways they could get in touch with me.
All right, Barbara. Well, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay. Thanks for calling.